President Obama called the mass shootings at the Florida nightclub on Sunday morning that left 50 dead and more than 50 wounded an act of terror and an act of hate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest psychologist will discuss the fear instilled in all of us by this mass violence, along with the impact on the LGBT community. We will discuss the outrage and the fear and other reactions to this attack on the gay nightclub in Florida, and we will welcome your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What do you think should happen now? Our guest is Frank Farley. He is a psychologist at Temple University. He's formerly with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is also the former president of the American Psychological Association, and he is the president of the Society for the Study of Peace, Conflict, and Violence. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's such a broad question, but what was your initial thought when you heard about this this horrible tragedy in Orlando?
Well, here we go again, and I'm deeply concerned about the security at such locations. Paris, France, a few months ago, there was a deadly attack on a nightclub. Several shooters did it. And here we have a nightclub in Orlando that apparently or clearly had insufficient security. Didn't they learn anything from what happened in Paris? Mm-hmm. And what the whole nation here is doing is looking into terrorism and radical Islam and all sorts of things. And where's the discussion about such venues providing sufficient security for their patrons? And that was my very first thought.
And then we did learn that this gunman did run into an off-duty police officer who was providing security at the nightclub but got by him. I guess you're saying that guy wasn't enough. The one security officer wasn't enough.
That's correct. Sufficient security is what is needed for these kind of venues going forward. And, one gunman got in and did this horrendous damage. It clearly bespeaks a lack of appropriate and sufficient security on site. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling that that's the kind of thing we should be focusing on, because these incidents don't happen a lot. And going into all the background and the psychology of this person and radical Islam, etc., it's very hard to pull that all together and make a prediction about behavior. But we can provide adequate security for people at such events, and I think that local licensing boards, etc., should require a security plan at all such places going forward.
Yeah. Well, so this is our new normal, Frank Farley, that we have to worry about some sort of terrorist attack / hate crime at all of our public venues?
Well, it's more than we've seen in the past. Let's put it that way. I still think 99.999% of Americans are safe in such places, but it only takes one, and we need to deal with it directly at the site of the horror itself. And so it's kind of the new normal, yes.
Yeah. You know, President Obama called this an act of terror and an act of hate. The gunman pledged his allegiance to ISIS. He called 911 and said this on the 911 call. But also his father said that he was outraged when he saw two men kissing in Miami. Your thoughts on, I don't know, the intersection between a terror attack and a hate crime?
I think in this particular case, it's the hate crime that trumps the rest of the behavior. I think that's the thing that got him in the door. And this is primarily a hate crime. Secondarily, an instance of radical extremism. His wife, for example, said he never expressed sympathy during their years of marriage for radical Islam or for ISIS or any of the other groups. And so it seemed to me that his hate of gays was the primary motivation that got him going. And then the sort of radical Islamic statements, etc., was like an overlay, a kind of patina over his basic motivation, which was hate for gays. And keep in mind that he had been showing some pretty unstable behavior, at least according to his wife, and his father confirmed the hate aspect. And his wife had talked about him being unstable, about being bipolar, and sufficiently erratic, etc., that she left him.
Yeah. Linda on Facebook says, unbelievable that our prayers aren't going to stop this from happening again. We need to stand against the haters and the pro-gun lobby and say enough. We are a better country than this. We need legislation stopping the sale of automatic or semi-automatic weapons that use high-capacity shells. And others saying that we need policies, not prayers, to prevent this from happening again. Your thoughts on that, Frank Farley?
Well, I would have to endorse that. We definitely need policies. The easy availability of assault rifles in particular, like the AR-15 that he used, is outrageous. But there are other guns, other ways of doing things. If you are a disturbed individual, if you harbor deep hate, then you can get your hands on other alternative means. He bought a Glock pistol, which is a deadly item, just a few days before this. He had actually, it looked as if he might have contacted via Facebook another gay club in the area. So he had plans. And he was out to kill, in my view. And so he probably would have gotten enough deadly weapons to at least begin this horror.
What do you make
my
of,
concern?
I'm sorry, I was going to interrupt and ask about the fact that he did buy these guns, and he was employed by a security company to provide security at venues, apparently, and he was on the FBI watch list, and or he was at least interviewed multiple times in previous years by the FBI because of possible links to terrorist groups. Is it what is your reaction to someone who was being investigated for possibly being a terrorist or having terrorist ties, and being able to buy guns?
Well, I agree with that, but he had worked for a security company, and through that work he had been able to get clearance for weapons. The FBI concluded the case, and they didn't go further because they couldn't verify things that had been said about him by at least one or more coworkers. And given that they couldn't verify that, they really didn't have a case, apparently. So his employment allowed him to get an appropriate license. His wife said he kept a gun at home all the time, and he bought this AR-15 for this very specific purpose only about 2 weeks ago. So I don't think he was a long-term radicalized terrorist. I think he was less that than a man filled with hate, with some mental issues and some unstable behavior. And, you know, he was out for the kill. And when he and his son saw two men kissing, allegedly, according to his father, he was outraged by that. And he didn't want his son to see that sort of thing. And so that may have been a tipping point also.
Let's go to Scott in Madison. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how are you, Joy?
I'm okay. What do you think?
Hey, here's my thought. You know, this gentleman's 100% correct. This AR-15, there are too easy to get. But here's another scenario. Whether this was terror-related or not, you're still going to get some kind of a wacko going to some club, whether it's gay or any kind of club, and they could possibly go in there and just start shooting. And my thought is, and I'm no gun fanatic, believe me, but if somebody in that nightclub was carrying a weapon, they could have maybe stopped some of it.
So this was a gun-free zone, no guns in the nightclub. Scott and others say that if others had were carrying, that would not have happened, Frank Farley.
Well, that might be true. You never know. But my concern, again, is security at such venues. To me, that has got to be job one, that you can't even get a license for such a venue unless you have an appropriate security plan. You know, people have to know that they will be safe, and it's up to the businesses. And so I think the solution to this is more simple than it seems, which is to demand, require, and license appropriate security at these various venues, and not worry so much about, you know, all the background of this guy and whether he was or was not radicalized or what was his state of mind, etc. But a guy like that simply doesn't get in the door.
Yeah. We only have a minute or so to go. Frank Farley, you also had some thoughts on the possible effects on the presidential election.
Yes. You worry about, you know, what kind of impact it might have. I could see that. So, for example, Donald Trump supports guns. He has stated that he himself carries a gun. On at least one occasion, he stated that. So he supports guns. He is opposed to Muslim immigration, basically, into this country. So would something like this play into his hands or not?
Yeah.
So I think there will be influence.
In our last 30 seconds, I also you are calling for more research, prevention science to try to prevent mass violence in the future.
We need mass attention to prevention. We need to upscale our prevention science in America. It is a field. Prevention science is an approach to science. We need to emphasize it more and more. I'm organizing a national violence summit for this late this fall. I will be holding it as soon as we know who the new president is. And I'm bringing together some of the top people in the country on violence. And I'm asking them to debate and discuss for 3 or 4 days, and come up with some kind of a blueprint for reducing violence, and let's get it to the White House.
And we will talk to you again about that in the future. Frank Farley, thank you so much for being with us. And thanks to producers Naeja Ellison, Brianne Shasso, and Elizabeth Deliquest. This is the Ideas Network.